Good evening. It's good to see you all out this evening. When we got here, Mr. Shashariba says everybody seems so far away, way back there. And when you're way back there, it's a long walk up here too. it's good to be here. It's good to talk with you, this evening. What I'd like to do, for those of you who have a fairly good memory, last time I spoke here was on Romans 12. Okay? So, we got through part of Romans 12 and we didn't get through all of it. Well, the part that I was supposed to do. Right? So, you know, we had offering up your bodies as living sacrifices. So we dealt with sacrifices. We dealt with the will of God, and then we had to deal with gifts, and we were given 45 minutes to do such a thing. I thought we did a decent job getting through sacrifices and the will of God, and then, you know, and then we went over time a little bit just so we could kind of mention the fact that there are gifts in Scripture and that sort of thing. But what I asked you all to do, those of you who were here, I asked that you would take a sheet of paper and write down on it what you believe your gifts are. Now, I don't know if you've got that sheet of paper still or not, or if you've got an idea of what that is. That's good. Okay? So let's start from where we were at that time, and we'll start moving forward now. And so tonight, what I'd like to do is I'd like to deal with gifts, and this might just be more of an introductory sort of a thought tonight, but gifts in the body, or gifts in the church here, how the Lord has gifted His church. So, if you would turn with me in your Bibles, please, to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, and I'd like to read three verses from Romans chapter 12. And then we're going to go over to 1 Corinthians, and I'd like to read a few verses out of 1 Corinthians with you also. So, Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 3, Paul says this here. He says, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another." Now, if you turn with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're going to read a few verses out of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and let's start in verse 1. Paul also writing here to the Corinthians, he says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not of the hand, am I not of the body? It is therefore not of the body. And if the ear shall say, because I'm not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body? And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the hand to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism or schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. The Lord will bless the reading of His word. Let's take a moment and go to Him this evening and ask that He would help us to understand as we would look through these verses together. Lord, we would come to You now and we would thank You for once again bringing us together. Lord, this evening as we would look into Your word, we would step into an area, Lord, where You've greatly blessed Your church. And Lord, this is one of those areas that we definitely appreciate. It's one of those things, Lord, as we would look into spiritual gifts, we all enjoy gifts. And yet, Lord, sad to say, there are many, myself included, that spend much time not using the gifts You've given. Maybe wanting a different gift. Maybe not appreciating how You've, in Your infinite wisdom and love, have desired to fit each one of us into the sphere that You've put us in. So Lord, this evening, as we would open Your word, we would ask that You would help us to open our hearts, help us to be receptive to the work of Your Spirit in our lives, Lord. And first of all, that we would, if there would be things in our life which would be hindering Your work, which would be hindering Your Spirit to do His work in our lives, in our hearts, we would ask that You would point that out, that we would be humble, Lord. That we would be willing to let You put Your finger on those areas of our lives and not hold anything back. Lord, we truly do believe that You love us. We truly do believe that You love the body. And the way that we know is because You gave Your Son, and He willingly gave Himself for the body, for His bride. Lord, we would pray that this evening, as we would look to You, we would truly honor the head. And we would let the head lead and guide. We would truly follow the One who gave Himself for us. And Lord, that we would take time to learn those things that You would like to do in our lives and in our hearts. Those things that You have gifted us to do. Lord, I pray that we would use those. That we would grow in those. And that Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, would be exalted by our honoring You with the gifts that You've given to us. So Lord, we'd pray this evening that as we would read here and that as we would look into these verses, that You'd give us understanding, that You'd give us some insight and help as we would work through some of these thoughts here. Lord, we'd pray that anything that would be said that does not honor and glorify You would be quickly forgotten. And Lord, we'd pray that most of all, Your Son would be appreciated and loved more this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. We all like gifts. Who here does not like getting given something? Right? My daughter is the only one here that does not like giving stuff. And I like to know that because that saves a lot of money at birthdays. You know? I mean, if you don't want to be given something. Now, who here has ever been given something and like the anticipation's there, right? You know, like you get this gift and like it's all wrapped up real nice. You know? And then you start working your way into this gift. And you begin to realize that the size of the package was a little misleading. I mean, sometimes the size of the package means that you're getting given something either really big or really small. You see, when I went to ask my wife if she would marry me, I brought her a little box. Huh? She didn't want a big one. In fact, I had a big box there, you know. And, you know, and it was her birthday. And so what I did is I had this great big, nice romantic thing, you know, like I was going to ask her to marry me. And so I bring her all the way out to Hoffmaster Park, because that's where my dad took us as growing up. And what a great little place, you know. And we're right here. And so we walked up into the woods, you know, I laid out this little blanket and we had this little picnic dinner right there. Real nice. He's the only one that doesn't like this story. No, okay. So here we are. And now it's her birthday, right? And so she's anticipating something. She knows our relationship has been growing. We've talked about marriage. We've gone through some books on, you know, marriage and getting engaged and that sort of a thing. So she's anticipating something. And she's like, she's on the edge of her seat. And I could tell that. And so I use that to my advantage and to, you know, harass her a bit, you know? So we ate through dinner and we talked about, you know, meaningless stuff. And I tried to make it, you know, just as, you know, humdrum as I possibly could, knowing, and I actually told my in-laws, not at the time, they weren't my in-laws, but I actually told them, you know, this is the night that we're going to go do this and whatnot, you know, so they're all, you know, everybody's on pins and needles, so to speak. So what I did is I brought Joy this big box and I bought her some perfume that she was really wanting, but she didn't want it that night. She was not interested in the perfume I had bought her. In fact, I gave it to her and I was like, happy birthday. You know, we had this little cake and it was wonderful. And she, you know, she's, I'm so nervous. She says as she's opening it up and she gets it open and she's like, oh, not impressed, unimpressed, completely, totally unimpressed. And then I was like, well, we better be getting home. Your parents said they'd like us home by 9 o'clock. You know, we got to be getting going. And she's like, I don't want to go anywhere. I says, well, I brought some games. You know, we could play a game. You know, I brought, you know, I don't know. I said pass the pigs or something. Some little game. It's kind of like these pigs that you roll as dice. And if they fall on their nose, it's, you know, it means something. Anyway, she's like, I don't want to play pass the pigs, you know. And so she's, you know, and I was enjoying every moment of it. She was not enjoying every moment of it. But then I gave her this little box. And I got down on one knee, and she opened that box, and that was the gift she wanted. That was pretty good, eh? Huh? Yeah. And she said yes, you know, just in case you were wondering.
First I said yes.
Yeah. He actually asked me. It was awkward. Nonetheless, she was given the gift she wanted. You see, at first she was given a gift, and she opened it up. She didn't want that gift. You see, there was something she was anticipating. There was something she wanted because there was a relationship she desired. Pretty good, isn't it? The thing is the Lord has already told us, he goes through and he tells you, he says, I've given you something. Now the thing is, he gave us a son. And anybody that's come to the Lord Jesus Christ, I'll tell you this here, they've never been disappointed. Not even a little bit. Nobody comes to know the Lord Jesus Christ and is even slightly disappointed, thinking, that's pretty good. I mean, God, you could have done a little better than that. Nobody's ever thought that. That's truly come to the Lord Jesus Christ and seen what God has done for them. But sometimes we do treat the gifts that he's given us in the body a bit like my dear wife treated that perfume when I gave it to her. Really? This? You see, I was hoping for something a little nicer. I was hoping for something different. I was given gifts in school, you know, you'd get these little things, you know, and you had high hopes, you know, for something, and you'd bring it home, and, you know, and half hour into playing with it, you realized it wasn't everything you'd hope it would have been. You see, the gifts that the Lord gives to us are not like that. When God gifts you, when God gives you something, when he specially and specifically equips you, he does it for a specific purpose and reason. Now often we take and we don't even take time to learn what that is. In some instances, we might take that gift and throw it off in the corner and say, it's not what I was expecting. If you get something else that I might appreciate a little more, I'll be interested. Other than that, you can take that gift and put it off to the side. You know, now we would all, man, am I guilty of that? You know, we might be asking ourselves, you know, am I guilty of that? Is that something that I've done maybe? Have I thrown a gift off to the corner? And well, that's between you and the Lord. But God has specifically and specially equipped and given gifts to the body, and he has equipped you specifically for this body. Did you know that? He didn't make any mistakes. And so if there's anybody in the body, first of all, let's say there's somebody in the body who's got a gift that doesn't quite, it's not a gift that I like them having, they've got a gift that it might very well be God put them there specifically to work with you. Sometimes the gifts are given in such a way, sometimes the Lord takes and he moves things in such a way so as to work you in your specific spiritual gift. So it might be patience. You know, that the story was told by, not Chesterton, what's his name? Barnstaple, that fella, I can't think of Chapman. He tells the story. You're thinking, if you can't remember the guy's name, how are you going to remember the story? Anyways, he had the, there was this fella, and I've told Joe Vandenberg the story a number of times because it's just brilliant. But this fella moves over to Barnstaple, right? And he came from this church that he was at prior. Well, after he had come over and was at Barnstaple for a while, the little fellowship that he was at prior to that writes a letter over to Mr. Chapman. Some of you may know this story. And he says this, and they say this here. Well, that brother was difficult, you know. I mean, on his best day, he was hard to get along with. And we just wanted to, you know, how are things going with him? How is he, you know, is everything good? Do you need our help? That sort of a letter, right? Well, Mr. Chapman writes back and he says, that brother has been invaluable to this group of people. We did not realize how much we needed patience until he showed up. Right? So praise the Lord for that, but you don't want to be that brother. You know, I mean, if that letter's coming for you, you know, I mean, Mr. Shesheriva writes a letter back saying, didn't realize how much we needed Joe Vandenberg, you know, we needed patience, something fierce, you know. No, you don't want that letter, right? Hopefully that's not you, right? But nonetheless, sometimes the Lord takes and he works the gifts in that way, doesn't he? But he might be specifically working in your life on something. So be aware of that. Be willing to let the Lord take and draw your attention to something where he's rubbing you one way or the other. Why is he doing that? Because he wants to make you like his son. He wants to make you just like the greatest gift he's ever given you. So Paul here, he starts out in verse 3 of Romans chapter 12, and he says this here, through the grace given unto me. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul takes and he starts talking about spiritual gifts. And then we get to chapter 13, and, you know, I mean, you'll find that on wedding cards, you'll find that, you know, on, you know, all sorts of places. You'll find 1 Corinthians 13, right, the love chapter, you know, I mean, you know, grandmas write it to their grandkids and that sort of thing. Yeah, that's wonderful, it's not misapplied. But do you think Paul was just thinking, I'll just write a little something in between how we use our spiritual gifts and what spiritual gifts are in the body, and we'll just throw a little something in there about love, you know, kind of puff the book up a little bit, you know, pump it up, make some more sales on the... No, that's not the point of that. You see, Paul realized that God was spiritually gifting, supernaturally, the body, and that there would be a great amount of care, a great amount of love necessary in the function and the use of those gifts, because he was going to give something supernatural to a group of sinners. And what needs to happen in between 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 1 Corinthians chapter 14 is there's something very important that happens in 13, and that guides the function of these gifts. So as we interwork with one another, as we work together, as we develop and work through our gifts, these gifts are being worked on specifically from a motivation of, I love my brothers and sisters in Christ. It's because I care about them that we work together. It was because Mr. Chapman actually loved this dear brother that showed up in this meeting that when the other assembly comes and takes and writes a letter to him, he can actually honestly say, it was a blessed positive thing that this brother showed up, because he's actually helped us grow more like the person of Christ in his being here. So he says, through the grace given unto me. Now, you talk about a gift. Being an apostle is a pretty big gift. With each gift comes a massive responsibility. Paul here was given not only this gift, this place, this office in the body of being this apostle. So he writes letters. Can you imagine writing letters? And the very words that you're writing here, you know, that are being inspired by God himself. You're being carried along. And these letters are specific for building up the body of Christ, for building up the church, teaching them doctrine. You're going to teach them about God. We have a very careful business in preaching God's word. You don't just go rampant through scripture and say, well, I think, and it seems to me, it doesn't matter what you think, and it doesn't matter what seems to you. What does the Bible say? And that's the point. So as Paul takes and he comes through and he's working here, there would be a lot of, there could be a lot of the old flesh that might want to come out. Imagine if God gave you the single-handed responsibility of knowing 100% what he thinks about this given topic. And we sit around and talk about what does God mean through what Paul wrote about election, predestination. And Paul wrote it. Can you imagine the old flesh, your old heart that would want to come out? And yeah, that was me. I wrote that one. So he here realizes, he recognizes the first thing, through the grace given unto me, first of all, that God would use him. Does it ever boggle your mind that God took a wretched sinner like you and me, and he actually wants to bring you into the family business? He's not ashamed of you. Have you ever been ashamed of your kids? You know, you go into this situation, you know, and you're hoping that your kids are going to, you know, behave themselves, right? And, you know, next thing you know, drinks are spilled and kids are thrown up and, you know, the baby uses the washroom at totally the wrong time. And it's just, you're just a little, you know, off put with the behavior of your children. And you're like, I don't know, maybe we could just take the kids to the other room and, you know, find a babysitter. That's what we do these days. We just find a babysitter so we don't have to deal with that. But God doesn't do that with you. God's not looking for your babysitter. He's not ashamed of you. He didn't pull you out of the miry clay and say, okay, Joe, you're saved. You're just as saved as everybody else. But if you wouldn't mind standing kind of back a little bit, you know, Just be off to the corner, kind of get back. That way if anybody kind of scans the crowd, they don't see you right off the bat. He's not ashamed to call us brethren. He is not ashamed of us. Does that boggle your mind? The infinite God of the universe who speaks things into creation is not ashamed of you. I know that does ask you the question, have you ever been ashamed of him? You see, this is the only place where you can suffer reproach for the name of Christ. In heaven, it's going to be cool to be saved. We're going to sing around his throne. There's no suffering reproach. There's no suffering for the cause of Christ in heaven. There's no taking a stand for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. It only happens here. You've got a limited amount of time for it to take place. Are we ashamed of him? Through the grace given unto me, God through his grace has brought us into the family business. He's not ashamed of us. And he also says this here, to every man that is among you. So each one of us have been gifted, supernaturally gifted. Now what are these gifts? We can fly, see through what? No, not dumb gifts, not things you'd never use. Things that are profitable, things that actually are gifted, specifically fashioned for the purpose of building up. Now, this is where it gets good. It's not so cool the tool that you used, but how well you use that tool. That's called skill. So I'll be digging a hole at home or something like that, and one of my little kids will be there with me. Matthias was notorious for this. This was brilliant. He didn't get it for a long time, but we'd be digging a hole, you know? And I'd be digging away with a shovel, and he'd be digging away with a shovel, and it just a few digs into the hole there, and he'd be like, Daddy, can we trade shovels? So we'd trade shovels and we'd get digging again, you know, and you know, I mean, we'd be a couple more minutes into it and he's, can we trade back? So we'd trade shovels back and get digging a little more, and something's wrong with my shovel. It's not digging as fast as yours. Oh. Yeah, that's it, son. It's not digging as fast as yours is. We've all been gifted. We've all been brought into this. Every man among you. Now this here he takes and he says not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. This is kind of a sticky point. Jabe, in one of his messages, he says in most of these areas you'll find a ditch on both sides of the road. And it's real easy, you know, you end up in one ditch or you end up in the other ditch. So either we over-exaggerate our usefulness or we under-exaggerate our worth. You know, either we're all wrapped up in how great and good we are at what we're doing, or we're, you know, I'm no good at all. The real reality is, Mr. Kelly said, is not to think about yourself at all. Eliminate yourself from the mind and you start thinking about Christ. Make him the focus of your mind. It's not how good you are at it. Who cares how good you are at it? He's the only one that cares. The purpose of your giftedness is to edify and to build up the body. Not to think of himself more highly than he ought to. Now this would have probably been a fairly large danger for someone like Paul. But God has taken, and through his life, you can read through Corinthians and stuff, how Paul himself testifies to the fact that God took and he worked specifically in Paul's life to humble him. And those are the sorts of things that God does in our lives. He brings us through trials. He brings us through things. Why? Because he does not want us to think more highly than we ought to think about what? About ourselves. We're sinners, and he's going to give you a gift. He's gifted you. He wants you to develop that gift. He wants you to use that gift, not for yourself. And that's the thing. When we find out what our spiritual gift is, unless the Lord has taken and we've let him have his work in our lives, it's real easy to start getting puffed up. It's real easy to start thinking, well, I'm actually pretty good at this. And then it starts working backwards, doesn't it? Then we've messed up. Now we've got a sin to confess, don't we? So you've got those two dangers. Don't overestimate your importance. Don't underestimate your importance. Don't worry about your importance. Don't think more highly of yourself than you ought. But he says this here, think soberly. I do want you to have your mind on something. I want you to think about something. Don't go through this business of spiritual gifts without having anything in your mind at all. You know, completely empty, right? But he says, I want you to think soberly. Now that actually harkens back to verse 2 where he's talking about renewing your mind. And here this idea comes on thinking about the person of Christ. Our mind should be wrapped up in thoughts of Christ. It's not just a Sunday morning 9:30 to 10:30 kind of a thing. That's not the only time during the week that we think about the person of Christ. We're to have him filling our mind, enjoying thoughts of him, enjoying the work that he did, his blessed person, the things that he's done for us, his love and care for us. Think on Christ. And we begin to work through, begin to develop, begin to know his mind, so to speak. Now, this is interesting. Have you, I'm sure you've done this in your own life, but as you read through scripture, you'll read a verse and you've read the verse, you've memorized the verse, and then you finally hear something completely new in that verse. Well, I had that just a few weeks ago with this verse out of Proverbs. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. They're familiar verses, right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. All your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. So we know the verse, but there was one part in that that you go over it. I kept going over it, and then it hit me. In all your ways acknowledge him. Well, no, that wasn't it. The part that hit me at that moment, lean not on your own understanding. The hardest thing about leaving our path to the Lord is we always think that there's something wise that we have to do to manufacture or conjure up a solution. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and he will make your path straight. I didn't realize it, but for a number of years, that's what I thought the verse said. I knew the whole verse, don't get me wrong, but I had never thought about the whole verse. See, we trust in the Lord with all our heart, and then we say, well, he expects me to do my part. Oh, he does he? Is that the leaning on your own understanding part? That's the leaning on your own understanding part. That little part in any situation where you would say, he expects you to do your part. That's your own understanding. We struggle with that. We come up with things and we try to invent what is it that he would want me to do here? And does he want us not to think our way through a situation? No, but he wants us to commit our way to the Lord. He wants us to give our situation to him. Now I'm talking about very specifically here about life directions, not things that we've gotten ourselves all caught up in. But trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. There's a lot of questions out there, and quite often in the world that we live in today, it's worldly wisdom to lean on your own understanding. And you could take many different topics, and the church has fallen right in line with the world, and they actually think that it is godly to follow after your own understanding. You can just about pick any topic, and you watch the church and they fall right in line. Lean not on your own understanding. You ask any question, lean not on your own understanding. It's been very sobering for me. So here Paul says, think soberly, pray. So when we ask this question, how do I find out what my spiritual gift is? So let's say you wrote something down on your paper, right? Let's say you wrote down my spiritual gift is helps, mercy, speaking, preaching, teaching, evangelism, whatever it would be. Maybe you wrote a question mark. Maybe we don't know what our spiritual gift is. How do we find that out? First thing we do is pray. The first thing I would encourage you to do is pray. We pray. Why? Because what has to happen is we have to be in tune. We have to be in line with the Lord, walking with him. First of all, taking and letting him do his perfect work in our lives. So in verse 3 here, he says, don't think more highly than you ought, but think soberly. So our walking with the Lord Jesus Christ, walking hand in hand, walking with him closely, leads us to know what the mind of the Lord is. Second, one thing that I would encourage you to do is doing the things that the Lord leads you to do. Sometimes he'll prompt you, very small things. You know you should be doing such and such. They're small steps. In a message I heard from, I believe it was Scott DeGroff, he says, I believe every believer knows exactly what the Lord's next step for them is. The problem is we lack the faith to take it. He's shown us the light, he's led us, and we struggle with that next step. Doing the things the Lord leads us to do. Thirdly, ask godly men and women. So I would encourage you to do this here. Talk with elders. Talk with elders' wives. See what they've seen in your life. How you've developed things that they would be able to encourage you on in those sorts of ways. Not to think more highly. Think soberly. And then this here, I would give you two cautions here. Two words of cautions. Be discerning. Be discerning. If someone comes to you and asks you, what do you believe my spiritual gift is? How have you seen? How can we encourage one another? But you need to be discerning. Quite often we'll take, and I remember dear Chris Cairns he did not enjoy, nor did he believe before God that he had the gift and ability to teach God's word. And every time he was asked, he would say, no, I can't do that, I can't do that. We actually can hinder or help with our encouragement or in criticisms. And we have to be honest, not only with each other, but be honest before the Lord with the things that you know the Lord has gifted you to do. Don't inflict your gift on the body or what you perceive your gift to be. I'm a beautiful soloist. No, you're not. that would not be something that would be encouraging for the Lord's people. Don't do it to them. Be honest. Be willing to let the Lord work in your life. And also, don't just tell preachers, we really enjoyed the word. You know, some of these younger guys, we need to be encouraging them. They need help. And you did a great job isn't helpful. I know we think it's, it's great encouragement. You did a great job. What is something that they could possibly do to do a little better? And you'll listen to some of these guys. I remember maybe it's Chuck Swindoll I heard on the radio one time. And he says, one of the most encouraging things that I've heard was when somebody came to me and says, you really need to work on the last 10 minutes of your message. It hurts. But can we be honest with one another? How do you grow unless you be honest with each other? You need to work on your conclusion. You need to work on illustration. You need to work on, whatever it be. Let's be honest with each other. I mean, not just rambling on and on, telling each other all of our problems. And, I think you'd do better if you wore ties or that sort of tripe. But nonetheless, let's be honest with each other for the development of the body, for the building up of each other. The purpose is to edify the body of Christ. It is not to build myself up. It is not to criticize the Lord's people. It is for the purpose of building up the body of Christ. So what is the motivation? It's our love for the Lord Jesus Christ and our love for one another. And be honest. Don't tell someone they're gifted at something if they're not. It might very well be that they're not at this point gifted in that. Now, there's also the other side of that. If they're picking up tables downstairs and you're not gifted to help, you help anyways. Right? There are certain things that we get involved with. Well, I've not been given the gift of, giving money away, or something silly like that, so I just keep it all to myself. No, I mean, that's not it. That we have to be honest. So we encourage people. We bring them along. And don't inflict your perceived gift on the body by all means. Don't do that. Okay. So he goes on and he says, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Our gifts grow as we grow in faith. Your gift is not fully developed. My dear father-in-law could totally attest to the fact that you constantly grow. He's been preaching way longer than I have. And he says, still growing in it. Still working on it, fashioning. And that's the way that these gifts are. The gift grows as you grow. So you might not, and this is the hard thing. You might not have the faith of George Mueller. But that doesn't mean you will never have the faith of George Mueller. The Lord might have specifically, and that's the thing about somebody like George Mueller, even the world. Janet Parshall, I think that's her name, was on the radio the other day, and they're giving away a book on George Mueller this month. The world still talks about a guy that prayed and thanked the Lord for food that they did not have on the table. The world is looking for that. That means something to them. There's a guy that actually believes what he says he believes, and he lived it. And it's supernatural. That was not, you don't manufacture that in the world. You don't invent things like that there. You know, he didn't have somebody outside sawing the axle off the, you know, the milk crate while he's inside praying for it. You know, I mean, just a bunch of naughty little boys. You know, but no, that's not what it was like. But the thing is the Lord might have given you the ability to make some decisions that stretch or show a complete reliance on the work of God in your life. Is that foolishness? No. You be very careful telling somebody that they're presuming on God. We need to be very careful about telling someone they're presuming on God if they're working and they're walking in faith, not presuming on the Lord's people, mind you. You see, when the Lord's work is being done, the Lord always pays for the work that he's doing. Lord's work, God's will, God's work done God's way, never lacks God's resources. But as you grow, your faith will grow. As you grow, your ability to be merciful grows. As you grow, your gift grows in the amount of faith according to every man the measure of faith. So here we have verse 4. For as we have many members in one body and all members have not the same office. There's many members. Now, we need to be gracious with one another. It's very important as we're working, learning our gifts, as we're using the gifts God has given us, we need to be gracious with each other. You know how gracious the Lord's people had to be with me the first Wednesday night I shared? You know, I mean, it's burdensome to listen sometimes to some of these dear young brothers. But then you'd have somebody like dear brother Carl Taylor, who took us down to the jail, and he would say things like, Joe, quit saying it's a verbal pause. If you don't have anything to say, just don't say anything. Just be quiet. Think about what you're going to say next. Incredibly helpful. A man who was, Jabe describes him as, you know, 15, you know, football players all trying to get out the same door at the same time. That's the way the guy talked. He would always come up to him and say, quit dropping your voice at the end of your sentences. I mean, this guy had a hard time telling him to quit dropping his voice at the end of his sentences, let alone telling him, quit dropping your voice at the end of your sentences. But yet here he is, even to this day, he says that has been an incredible, I didn't like hearing it. Didn't enjoy hearing it, but he worked on it. Why? Because it's important to know what the last word in every sentence is going to be. Especially for some of us as we get older and our hearing begins to fade. It's really nice to know what the last, that he, right? So there you have it. And that's the point. So we be gracious with one another. And where there's movement, there's friction. Where there's movement, there's friction. In the body, there's going to be friction. And in between your joints, you have this synovial fluid that gives lubrication to the joints. And it works. And what it does is it allows you to be able to move, to do the things that you need to do, and do them smoothly, do them gently, and it doesn't cause pain. We need to be gracious with one another. Every man, for we as have many members in the body, all members have not the same office. We don't all have the same gift. We don't all have the same gift. In verse 5, he says this here. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. God gifted each person in this local assembly. I keep saying the same thing, because I'll be honest with you. I believe that there's many of us who don't actually think we're gifted spiritually. Or if you actually took the time to write down on that sheet of paper, you might very well have a question mark or didn't do it at all. Why? Because you don't know. You've never taken the time to find out what God has specifically equipped you to do to benefit Northwest Gospel Hall, to benefit the body here, let alone the body when you go elsewhere, let alone the body when you're traveling or meeting a believer at the gas station. They're part of the body too. God has specifically equipped us. So we, being many, are one body in Christ. Your gift is for my benefit. My gift is for your benefit. So as the Lord has equipped and fashioned each one of us, it's not for Joe Flieger's benefit. And that's the interesting thing about a body, isn't it? You see, my hand has to reach out to grab the food or grab my fork. And then the very thing that my body does is it gives it away. It gives it to my mouth, right? My hand doesn't get to keep it, but my hand had to cooperate with my mouth to get the food there. You've seen people eat without using their hands, right? And you're very appreciative whenever they actually do use their hands, right? So here we are, your hand reaches out, grabs the food, puts it in your mouth. Well, even inside your mouth takes and it chews it up. Your tongue's got a great job. I mean, you talk about a good job, that's a good job. Your tongue gets to taste all the food, but your teeth have to chew it up. My dogs don't chew their food. I don't know that they even taste their food. You know, you give it to them, boom, it's gone. Nonetheless, we chew our food up, and then your mouth gives it away. So my hand gave it away, my mouth gave it away, and it goes to my stomach. My stomach's like, thank you, I've been wanting this all day, I'm going to keep it all for myself. And did you know your body will not let your stomach keep its food? You're getting rid of it one way or another. If it's bad, getting rid of it. But your body takes, and even the stomach gives it away. The stomach has a specific job. We know this. This is not biology. But the purpose is God, in his infinite wisdom, said, I want you to see the giftedness in the local body as your body. The same way that your body works is the way that the body of Christ is to function. You are not to keep your giftedness to yourself. Did you know by you withholding your gift from the local body, who hurts? The whole body. You're not only just hurting yourself. You're hurting me. You're hurting everyone in this room. Everyone is affected by your willingness to follow God and how he's gifted you. Everyone here is affected by it. We think we can slip in and slip out. My body is the proof that you cannot just keep taking things in without giving something away. And that's how every aspect of our little life works. Your body has to keep giving it away. There are no vestigial organs in the body. There are no vestigial organs in the body of Christ. Vestigial means atrophied or unused, unuseful. If you got any further questions, Saj will explain that further. But there are no vestigial, there are no unnecessary organs in the body. You don't eat so much and then get an extra arm or a new set of kidneys or a new heart. It doesn't work like that. Each one of us has a purpose. Each one of us has a goal. Each one of us, or a gift, I should say. Each one of us has been gifted specifically for the body. And your gifts are specifically for the benefit of the body. My foot is my foot. Now that sounds totally platitudinal, like, wow, Joe, that's great. But did you know I would not be able to stand here and talk to you tonight if my feet didn't do their job? It's totally necessary. My hands not only assist me in talking, they also turn the pages. This would be very awkward without my hands. We've seen that happen. I mean, you got Nick Vujicic, who does the whole life without limbs thing. I don't know if you've ever seen him speak or listen to him speak, but a guy that has no arms and no legs. It's absolutely incredible. And you realize and you see God created the body specifically. And whenever he takes and he uses that metaphor to try to describe something to us, he wants us to use that metaphor to realize that each one of us has a purpose. Each one of us has a role to play. And there's none of us that are unimportant in this. None of the gifts are more important than the other gift. Nobody has a gift can say, well, you know, just because I'm not. And that's the whole point in 1 Corinthians 12, isn't it? Because I don't see, because I don't do this, because I'm not seen, because I... Let me ask you this question. Anytime your body aches, what part of your body comes to the rescue? So you get up in the middle of the night, and there's no light. I don't know if it's dark where you live, but it's dark where we live. And there's no light in the middle of the night. And so we get up. Joy, get up, I'm awake. You know? No, I get up, and I go to use the washroom. Sometimes, doesn't happen often, but I've hit my toe. I've done it. I'm not lying. Hit my toe. And the whole body joins in on the pain. Not one part of my hands come to the rescue, grab the foot, the other foot takes over, says, I've got it from here. You grab on, you know, I mean, and that foot's doing all the work now, you know, and I'm hopping around. My mouth even gets in with it, you know, I mean, and I, you know, and the whole thing, I mean, your whole body joins in. The whole thing is part of the pain. That was God's illustration, not mine. So I've got a question for you. At the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul says this here, whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. I'd like you to ask two questions. First of all, as we read these, I would like you to ask yourself these questions. Do I, or how can I? So when the body suffers, all the members suffer with it. Do you? Do I? How can you suffer with it? Next one. Or one member is honored, all members rejoice with it. Do I? How can I? Whether, now you are all the body of Christ and members in particular. God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, teachers, after that miracles, gifts, and healings. And he goes on from there. But here he says at the end, he says, but covet earnestly the best gifts, And yet show I unto you a more excellent way. He goes through 13 and he takes it up in chapter 14 and he works through some of the function of these gifts. But my question for you here tonight is this here. If the body suffers, do we suffer with it? So here in the local assembly, is there anybody suffering that we know of? And if we don't know, why don't we know? Are you sure that everybody here is able to buy groceries they need for this next coming month? Do you suffer with them? And if you don't know, why don't you know? Is anybody here not able to communicate very well? Or is anybody struggling to find a job? Is anybody, and on it goes. If the body is suffering, are we suffering with the body? And if we're not suffering with the body, why aren't we suffering with the body? I've got a question for you that moves on from there. The body is suffering all over this world. The body of Christ is in certain areas, the body of Christ is suffering greatly. Are we suffering with them? Now that actually leads me back to the point that my dear father-in-law made this morning. We can have the fellowship of suffering with these dear ones. We're all the body. We are all in this together. And you need to go before the Lord and ask Him serious questions. I mean, we didn't get into the function, the work, this, that, and the other thing. We started totally preliminary here. And I understand that. I know I've missed all kinds of stuff, you know. But the point is this here. Are we using the things that we know specifically right now that the Lord has gifted us to do? Are we using that for the benefit of the body? And as being part of the body, are we using it for the mutual edification of the Lord's people because we love them? Are we happy when they grow? How are we helping them grow? Are we being honest with one another about what our gifts are? Are we being honest with the Lord about what our gifts are? Because the whole point and function is that the body would function for the purpose of what? What do you got a body for? I mean, all God really wants is a well-functioning body, right? Just make the body function. You know, so we can sit around and move our arms if we want to. No, so we can communicate God's love and grace to the world. That's why the body has to function. What does the world think when the body doesn't talk to the head? We don't find prayer important. What does the world think when the body can't get along? These are questions we need to ask, very hard questions. Let's pray. Lord, we would come to you this evening. We would thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we would thank you for your Spirit that takes and gives us comfort. Lord, we thank you that you've taken and worked in each one of our lives, that you've gifted us, that you've worked specifically in each one of our lives and given us something that we can take and use, not only for the mutual benefit of one another, but also for building up the body, for encouraging one another. Lord, I would pray as we would look into some of these things maybe further sometime, that you would help us to continue to understand. Lord, we'd pray that we would walk through some of these things that you've shared with us, suffering one with another, rejoicing one with another. Lord, these are very hard to do on our own. And that is why we needed to be gifted with them. Lord, we weren't like this before we were saved. And we would thank you for the way that you've changed us, for the way that you've transformed us. And Lord, we would thank you that you still want to transform our minds, renew our minds, and work in each one of our lives. Lord, I pray that each one here would not only learn their gift, not only learn the things that they've been gifted by you to do, but Lord, that they would use them. That they would use them in the local body for the purpose of building one another up. Lord, I would pray that that this body here would function in a way that would reveal the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, that is our goal. We truly do desire to see Christ lifted up. And Lord, in the neighborhood that you've put us in the body specifically that you've put us in, Lord, we would thank you for that. We would honestly have to say sometimes we don't quite understand it completely. But Lord, we would trust you. And we would ask that you would help us as we would desire and struggle and fall and make mistakes. But Lord, I pray that we would continue on in pursuing and understanding and working in the ways that you've gifted each one here. So Lord, we'd pray this evening that you would be honored and glorified. Take us to our home safely. And help us, Lord, to be a local body that lifts up the name of Christ, that shares the gospel, that loves the Lord. And Lord, I'd pray that the world would be able to see that and give glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen.